Sully calls it a career. NASA says it has found more water around the moon's North Pole. And the middle latitudes on Mars may once have been a wet place. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, March 4th, 2010. First, a correction from yesterday. I mistakenly referred to NASA Administrator Charles Bolden as Michael Bolton. I know, it was late, I was tired, and I spent 30 years as a disc jockey at mostly FM chick rock stations. I sincerely apologize for the slip. The guy who was easily 2009's most famous pilot is calling it a career. Captain Chesley Sullenberger, whose skill and calm voice became famous in last year's ditching of U.S. Airways Flight 1549 in the Hudson River, flew his final flight for the airline yesterday, ending at his home airport, Charlotte Douglas International in North Carolina. In a written statement, the 59-year-old told WNBC in New York, quote, "Though I am retiring, I will continue to serve as the same kind of advocate I have always been, not only for aviation safety, but for the airline piloting profession. I will work to remind the entire industry and those who manage and regulate it that we have a sacred duty to our passengers to do the very best that we know how to do. Each generation of pilots hopes that they will leave their profession better off than they found it. In spite of the best efforts of thousands of my colleagues, that is not the case today," unquote. Mike Cleary, president of the U.S. Airline Pilots Association, called Sully a pilot's pilot and added, quote, "We must now find the will to once again invest in our pilot employees to encourage the best and brightest to enter and remain in our profession. When things go wrong, we want a Captain Sullenberger in the cockpit," unquote. Scientists now say data sent back by the synthetic aperture radar aboard India's Chandrayaan-1 spacecraft indicate the presence of water ice in more than 40 small craters near the north pole of the moon. The craters range in size from 1 to 9 miles in diameter. The total amount of ice depends on the thickness in each crater, but it's estimated there could be 1.3 trillion pounds or more of water ice. NASA Program Director Jason Crewson noted, quote, "After analyzing the data, our science team determined a strong indication of water ice, a finding which will give future missions a new target to further explore and exploit," unquote. The presence of water on the moon would be significant not only in its implications for long-term human colonies there, but also for the manufacture of rocket fuel if the moon is used as a base. The Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter has also found evidence that thick masses of buried ice are quite common beneath protective coverings of rubble on that planet. The subsurface ice deposits appear to extend for hundreds of miles in the rugged region called Deuteronilus Mensae, about halfway from the equator to the Martian North Pole. Jeffrey Plott of NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory and his colleagues prepared a map of the region's confirmed ice for presentation at this week's 41st Lunar and Planetary Science Conference near Houston. He explains, quote, "The hypothesis is the whole area was covered with an ice sheet during a different climate period, and when the climate dried out, these deposits remained only where they had been covered by a layer of debris protecting the ice from the atmosphere," unquote. You know, it figures, just about the time Constellation is canceled, the moon and Mars suddenly get really interesting. Up next on ANN, BAE Systems pleads guilty and faces a $400 million fine. Boeing loves Seattle, but suggests that's a two-way street. And new departure procedures at Heathrow save fuel and CO2. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways. And you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4 Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for March 4th. I'm Paul Plack. BAE Systems PLC pleaded guilty Monday in U.S. District Court in the District of Columbia to conspiring to defraud the United States by impairing and impeding its lawful functions, making false statements about its Foreign Corrupt Practices Act compliance program, and violating the Arms Export Control Act and International Traffic in Arms Regulations. Acting Deputy Attorney General Gary G. Grindler says the company was sentenced by Judge John D. Bates to pay a $400 million criminal fine, one of the largest in the history of the U.S. Department of Justice's effort to combat overseas corruption in international business and enforce U.S. export control laws. The charges have to do with allegations the company bribed foreign officials to obtain or retain business. Grindler says the firm has agreed to remedial measures and honesty and transparency going forward, but, quote, the Department of Justice will continue to hold accountable companies that impair the operations of the U.S. government by lying about their conduct and operations, unquote. BAE Systems PLC is a multinational defense contractor with headquarters in the United Kingdom. Its U.S. subsidiary, BAE Systems Incorporated of Rockville, Maryland, was not involved in the criminal conduct. Boeing Commercial Airplanes CEO Jim Albaugh is bringing some tough love to a union and union-friendly state lawmakers in the Pacific Northwest. He tells the Seattle Times, quote, this is where our people want to live. This is where we want to be. We've had a great partnership with the people of Washington, and I hope it continues for a long, long time, unquote. But he adds, quote, it's going to be a much more competitive environment out there in the future, and work any place is not an entitlement, unquote. The message was aimed clearly at the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, which has struck Boeing in four of the last five contract cycles. Albaugh makes it clear that history influenced the company to site a second Dreamliner assembly line in South Carolina. Quote, we can't afford to have a work stoppage every 3 years, and we can't afford to continue the rate of escalation of wages, unquote. He also says building a new factory and hiring from an inexperienced labor pool is far less expensive than shutting down a production line. On a less confrontational note, Albaugh noted that if Boeing's defense side wins the KCX tanker contract from the U.S. Air Force, the company will see growth. He also expects Boeing to retake the airliner deliveries lead from Airbus in about 2 years. London Heathrow Airport, NATS Limited, Singapore Airlines, and Airbus have launched an improved departure procedure for the Airbus A380, which is projected to save fuel and reduce CO2 and oxides of nitrogen emissions while remaining within the airport's strict noise procedures. A380s departing Heathrow now use less power when taking off. Once they reach 1,500 feet, the aircraft use flexible acceleration up to 4,000 feet before continuing their journey. The new procedure is estimated to save an additional 660 pounds of fuel per flight and 1 metric ton of CO2 on a flight to Singapore. Airbus says the A380 is already the world's most fuel-efficient airliner, burning less than 3 liters of fuel per passenger per 100 kilometers. That's about 78 passenger statute miles per gallon. Still ahead, Russia says it will develop a new long-range bomber. CFIs can now attend a FERC in the form of a live webinar. And airline discrimination is not just for passengers of girth. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, March 4th. I'm Paul Plack. On the heels of the first flight of Russia's new T-50 stealth fighter, Prime Minister Vladimir Putin says the country will begin work on a new long-range strategic bomber. The Associated Press reports no plans or sketches have been seen, but insiders say it may resemble Boeing's B-2 bomber, which first flew more than 20 years ago. The T-50 bears a resemblance to the F-22 Raptor, which has also been flying about 2 decades. Russian military officials have said they need a new bomber to replace the aging Tu-95 and Tu-160, by 2030. Military analysts say a post-Soviet industrial decline has negatively affected both the pace and quality of weapons development in Russia. The FAA gave approval February 26th to AV Seminars to offer the nation's first CFI renewal through a live webinar. The process is said to be virtually identical to attending a live FERC, but without the travel and hotel costs. All that's needed are a PC or Mac, a webcam, and a microphone. The webinar launch is scheduled for April 3rd and 4th, with 24 attendee positions available. CFIs who have renewal months of April, May, June, and July are invited to register online and get details. AV Seminars will also continue to offer its program in person, including a visit to Fort Lauderdale, Florida, April 17th and 18th. The fee for either the webinar or live presentation is $69, and that includes the FAA Temporary Airman Certificate. Find out more at avseminars.com. And finally today, the plight of obese passengers on airliners has made news recently. But after a recent poll on the subject, the travel site Skyscanner says it received a bunch of emails from tall passengers who say they also face discrimination. Simon James is 6'5" and offers, quote, "Everyone's talking about fat tax, but tall tax has been around for years. I always request an exit row seat, but there's no guarantee you'll get one. On many cheap flights carriers, I have to pay for the privilege of choosing a seat or boarding first. People come in all shapes and sizes, and airlines should accommodate us all," unquote. But he probably didn't win any friends among the circumferentially challenged when he added, quote, "I have sympathy for overweight people, but at least the vast majority of them can lose weight if they choose. Tall people can't get any shorter," unquote. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, ANN's Jim Campbell recaps Women in Aviation International's annual show in Florida. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.